Hello there.
Hello there indeed. Time for another installment of David Darren's Top 5 Things. A look back at what we feel were the top 5 things that happened on our morning show. Did I mention we're back on the radio? Is it something you're aware of?
That's weird.
Yeah, it is. It's weird how not weird it is, but it's also weird how weird it is.
Both ways. Doubly weird.
Do you feel the same? Like, of course we're back on the air, but also, we're back on the air.
It's like a double-edged weird.
Yes, that's what it is. And it's every morning, well, weekday mornings, on Planet 93.9. You can listen to it live at planet939.com if you're into that sort of thing. I mean, obviously, you're somebody that knows how to use computers to listen to junk. You're listening to this.
The Top 5 Things is brought to you by Capriati Sandwich Shop on 53rd Street in Davenport, home of the Quad City's best cheesesteak, and now the Impossible Cheesesteak. Be sure to download the Loyalty app and get free food. And, of course, turn your favorite Capriati sandwich into a combo with a chip and a medium drink.
All right, Lee, get started here with the one, the only.
The one.
Yeah, the number one.
Number one. One.
Illinois now may not hit the coronavirus peak until mid-June. Mm-hmm. The peak was originally supposed to be in mid-May, which is where we find ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the new models suggest that that peak could be stretched out to early to mid-June in Illinois. Around the world, there are different ideas for getting people to socially stay apart from each other, the social distancing. In Singapore, they've got a brand new way to get people to get hip to the social distance trip.
Right.
They're sicking a yellow and black robot dog on them.
How many do they have?
The government now announcing in Singapore that they're going to get their residents to stay away from each other by deploying Spot. That's one of those robot dogs, like a headless robot dog. It's got four legs, and it'll patrol.
Teeth?
No, not teeth. This thing will patrol an area this weekend, and when it senses people are hanging out too close to one another, the dog will come running up to you, and then it will broadcast.
And ask for a treat.
It will broadcast.
Don't feed the robot.
A pre-recorded message. It will play a message to remind you of the importance of social distancing. I would be inclined to break the social distancing guidelines just to have a robot dog come and yell at me. I think that's pretty boss.
Or what if it was R2-D2?
The device also will be equipped with cameras that will scan the surroundings and help officials estimate the number of people that are gathering in the parks there.
Mm-hmm.
These cameras will not be able to track and or recognize specific individuals, and they say no personal data will be collected. I don't know why the government of Singapore would
you be
lie.
More likely to listen to a robot dog or R2-D2?
Well, I don't understand R2-D2. It's all beeps and boops. I don't understand R2-D2.
Well, you wouldn't understand a dog either.
A robot dog playing a pre-recorded message. It's not a pre-recorded message from a dog.
Well, it wouldn't
It's a pre-recorded message from a human being.
Okay, C-3PO.
Yeah, well, I would understand C-3PO.
Well, that's what
better.
I'm saying. Okay, who would you respond to better?
Oh, a robot dog or C-3PO?
Yes, or both.
Robot dog would scare me into doing the right thing.
You're not frightened by C-3PO?
No one's frightened
what
by C-3PO.
What were his superpowers?
That's not how Star Wars works.
He didn't have any superpowers?
No, he was a protocol droid.
Now, R2-D2...
He was fluent in more than 6 million forms of communication.
R2-D2 could turn... His superpower was that he could turn himself into a film projector.
He could also fly.
He could fly?
Yes.
And C-3PO but had nothing.
They didn't do the R2-D2 flying until the prequels.
And
by then it was ridiculous.
And then Chewbacca, how did he fly? Like a frisbee?
Little rockets.
Did he flatten?
Little rockets come out of his legs.
Nice.
And he flies around.
Well, that's cool.
It's not. It's so stupid.
Chewbacca was just, he was just.
Very strong.
Strong.
Yeah.
He could like bend steel.
Yeah. I don't know if he's strong for a Wookiee.
He was capable of bending people named Ben Steel.
He could do all of those things. He would rip phone books in half. And
did he?
Try and get you to go to his church. It was something else. He would blow up water. Those big,
that was in the prequel?
Hot water bottles. He would blow those up. No. So he just had strong, very strong, but
yes.
He was again, a Wookiee. So I don't know if he was strong for a Wookiee or
but
if that's just
he couldn't
just
fly.
No, he couldn't fly. Boba Fett could fly, and R2-D2 could fly. Now, Boba Fett could fly in the original trilogy, or Ridge Tridge, as we call it, but not very well. The only time he ever used his jetpack, he fell right into the Sarlacc pit. So I'm going to say really R2-D2 is the only one that can fly.
He flew into a pit?
Yeah. You haven't seen Return of the Jedi, huh?
That
Lights up. He starts.
I saw
his,
somebody who was on a springboard.
Yeah.
And jumped into the pit.
He jumps with his jetpack to go and do something, and then he gets knocked, and the jetpack kind of goes askew, and then he goes right into the Sarlacc pit.
So he couldn't fly, he just had a jetpack.
He was a cool-looking dude who dies in the dumbest, stupidest way possible. Yeah, the whole Boba Fett thing was a giant waste of everyone's time. If I'm being honest. Now, the Mandalorian can fly, but yeah, that's a new thing that he just got in the last episode. So, I mean, that's not, again, a superpower. The ones with superpowers are your Jedi Knights.
And the Mandalorian has nothing to do with Back to the Future.
No, that's a DeLorean you're thinking of. The Mandalorian is...
Not a car?
No, he's a bounty hunter. He's...
In a car.
There's no cars. There's spaceships.
Okay, he's in a spaceship.
Yes. He flies around in his spaceship.
And it doesn't look like Back to the Future at all.
At no point in time does anything in The Mandalorian resemble anything from Back to the Future. Completely different creative efforts.
Except for Yoda.
Yoda's not in either of them, although Darth Vader is in Back to the Future.
And it's not baby Yoda.
No, it's not Yoda. It's the same species as Yoda.
Which is what?
We don't know. George Lucas never said.
We don't
know what planet Yoda's from. We don't know what species he is. He's just
so
a
you
Yoda.
Don't know what to call him.
No, the little baby,
that
the
seems,
child
that seems
in
like
in,
a strange omission,
and it does seem strange because he tells you everything about everyone except Yoda.
More information than you need about anything.
Right, I can tell you that Wookiees are from the planet Kashyyyk.
Exactly.
I can't tell you
where
Yoda's from. No.
And what his last name is.
It's possible that Yoda is his last name. In the original screenplay, his name was Minch Yoda. So that could be...
Or that could be a middle name.
We don't know.
He could be Jimmy Yoda. Hello. Hello, I'm Wayne Yoda.
Wayne! That's his name. Wayne Yoda. Hello.
We just don't know because we never saw him in a jersey.
No.
We don't know if it's his last name or not. Now batting. Number one. Wayne Yoda.
We don't know what species Yoda is. There's only one other creature like him in
what
all the movies. And that creature's name is Yaddle. So there's Yoda and there's Yaddle. But Yaddle doesn't even have a speaking role. So I don't know. I don't know how that works. The people at Disney want you to know that despite the coronavirus,
yes,
they are exactly where they want to be for Mandalorian Season 2. That there have not been any delays in getting the new season of The Mandalorian.
And
that's supposed to be out this fall, Darren.
And that's a movie or a TV show?
It's a TV show.
And what's that on?
It's on the Disney Plus streaming effort.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes.
And how long is that? How long was the first one? Like an hour? Our show? Our movie?
It varies. It's like half hour. Some are like 45 minutes. Because it's not on regular television, it can vary.
It was a whole season.
Yeah, but I think it was like 8 episodes
okay.
or something like that. Was it 8? They're saying that Mandalorian Season 2 will not be delayed on Disney Plus. They made this announcement that they must have filmed everything that they needed to film, and now everything's in post-production, and you can just do that on computers.
Are there other Star Wars characters in The Mandalorian?
From the movies?
Yes.
Or
it's just from the same, it's just the same
It's the same
time period.
Universe. There hasn't been anyone in The Mandalorian TV show from any of the movies.
Okay.
To the best of my recollection.
just other goings on.
Yeah. It takes place...
Tatooine?
It's after Return of the Jedi. So yeah, they go to Tatooine, but there was no one in the TV show that was from the movies. So the post-production is what they're doing now. That has not been affected.
And then maybe another Han Solo movie?
I don't think they'll do another Han Solo movie, although they should. But they're not going to do another Han Solo movie because that didn't perform as well at the box office.
I thought everyone liked it, though.
They should have. It was great.
Why do you hate Han Solo?
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Mandalorian Season 2 will be coming out this fall on Disney Plus, and I'm there for it. I loved that first season. I enjoyed that more than...
Than all the movies combined.
I enjoyed it more than a lot of the movies. That's the thing about Star Wars is... There are more movies that I'm not crazy about than I like.
Yeah.
When I really sit down and look at
more misses than hits.
When you're talking about, well,
you really only like two movies.
No, I like more than two movies, but there are more than three that I don't really not really crazy about. They're just fine, you know. But Mandalorian, that thing knocks it out of the park.
I've heard good things.
Two. Who is the most sold jersey in the NFL right now?
In the NFL?
Yeah. Who is the number one top-selling jersey in the NFL right now?
Is it, well, Patrick Mahomes?
You would think.
Is it Tom Brady's Buccaneers jersey?
No. The new number one selling jersey in the NFL is Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua... Tagovailoa. Am I even close on that? Just Tua.
He's going to be wearing number one.
Because his number is 13, and you don't get to have that number
right
when you're playing for the Dolphins.
I didn't even consider that. I guess that's true. That's
yeah.
Dan Marino's old number.
Dan isn't giving that up. I read an article, or an opinion piece, where someone was saying...
Is that a retired number?
Oh, yeah. You retire Dan Marino's number if you're the Miami Dolphins. Also retire his Isotoner gloves. If you are Dan Marino could say, listen, that's my number, but you're welcome to
sure.
wear it. But they never do that, athletes that have their numbers retired.
Typically not.
Right. Now, our beloved Chicago Bears have made an announcement where they will not be retiring any more numbers ever again because they can't, because they've retired so many. And the Dolphins are kind of in that situation, too. The Dolphins have retired a lot of numbers. So you get to the point where you just can't retire numbers anymore.
Is it the Cowboys that don't retire numbers? Do they retire numbers?
Well, they have the Ring of Honor, right. Don't they? So is that different? The Ring of Honor is the person's name, but they don't have the number up there? Is that how that works?
And then there's Jerry Jones, and he doesn't have the Ring of Honor. What does he have? Glory something?
The glory hole, I believe is what they call it.
Jerry Jones. Glory hole.
Glory hole. Yeah. 139 players in the history of the NFL have had their numbers retired. And you're right. I don't see any Cowboys on this list.
I don't think they do that.
So that's just a policy there that they don't do it. I mean, I'm looking here at lot of New York Giants and a whole lot of... Not very many Packers have had their numbers retired. Interesting. How many? Okay, I'll give you.
And who was the last?
One, two, who was the last three, Bear? Four, five, six. The last Bear to get his number retired, I want to say, is Ditka, right?
Oh, okay.
Because they made a big deal about this is it. We're not doing it again. Like 54 is still available because they couldn't retire Urlacher's number because they just said we're done with that. Can't do it. So, yeah, I think Ditka was the last one to have his number retired, and that was back in 2013. How many Green Bay Packers can you give me that have had their number retired? There's a total of six. That's it. They've only retired six numbers there in Green Bay.
Paul Hornung.
Nope.
Bart Starr.
Bart Starr is number 15. Yes, that's retired.
Jim Taylor.
Nope.
Forrest Craig.
Nope.
Forrest Gregg is not retired?
Not retired.
Jerry Kramer.
Nope.
Huh.
Mm.
Chester Markle. I don't know.
No. Not Chester Markle. No. Good one, but no. There was a big retirement, and he came back.
Brett Favre?
Yeah. Favre's number's retired. Also, Don Hutson.
Okay.
Ray Nitschke.
I got, oh, yeah, sure.
Tony Canadeo.
Don't know him.
He played in the 40s and 50s. And then Reggie White.
Oh, Reggie White.
They retired his number.
92.
Yeah, number 92. So are the Cowboys the only team that doesn't retire numbers? Because I get it. The Redskins have only retired one number, and that's Sammy Baugh, 33. Played from 37 to 52.
Well, what they really should be doing is retiring the name.
Yes, they should. 49ers have a ton of retired numbers. Yeah, there's some teams that have very few. Oh, I guess the Dolphins only have retired. In the article I read that said that we got to get rid of this retiring numbers, they were saying that the Dolphins have too many numbers that are retired. Dolphins only have three numbers total. Three that are retired.
Zonka.
Of course, number 39.
Dan Marino.
And
your guy Mercury Morris.
No, my guy Bob Greasy.
Bob Greasy. That's right, Bob.
Sure.
I mean, look at him putting his head down and run.
Whoa, Nelly. What do you think of that there, Greasy?
I'm pretty sure he could outrun old Earthquake.
That's right, Keith.
He could outrun old Earthquake Inyard, Greasy. You remember Earthquake Inyard, don't you?
Sure do, Keith.
Play it at Oregon State, Keith. It's not at all what he sounds
no,
like.
No, it's not.
But that's the impression.
That's what we've worked up, and that's what we're going with.
Handful of players I'm looking at here have had their number retired by more than one team. That would be Reggie White, of course, for the Eagles and the Packers.
That's impressive.
And Peyton Manning had his number retired. The Raiders and Falcons. I got a text here that says the Raiders and Falcons also do not retire numbers.
Okay.
Interesting. And the Steelers and the Washington Redskins have only retired a handful. Okay, great. The most retired numbers of any team is the Bears. 14 numbers, which is ridiculous. I mean, you can't wear 66 because of Bulldog Turner. Now, okay.
What number?
66 is not a number available to the Bears because that's 66. Bulldog Turner's number. You can't wear 61. That was Bill George's number.
Yep.
Brian Piccolo, 41. Was Brian Piccolo that great of a player? I mean, I know it's a sad story, but...
Well, they
does
did
that merit getting your number
retired? No, he was not. They did it for a different reason.
All right. Willie Gallimore.
Yep.
Number 28. Bill Hewitt. Played from 32 to 36.
Must have been a hell of a player.
Must have been for them to retire the number.
Or he had pictures on people.
You want to know why they call him Papa Bear?
I'll tell you
look
why.
Look at this picture and connect the dots for yourself. The man had exquisite taste, but a dangerous appetite.
This one's just right.
Number three.
Three.
Pew Research at it again with another one of these surveys, and they find that more than a third of us have snooped around on our partner's phones.
Nope.
Grabbing your spouse, your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, grabbing their phone and just start looking around. More than a third of us say that that's something we've done. 42% of women
is
say
that something you want to admit to?
No, I would never.
Yeah.
No. But, well, I don't.
I don't know how to work her phone.
I guess if I was in a situation where I had an inkling something was up, I would.
Right.
You
have no reason to do so.
Right. I don't. If I had a sneaky suspicion there was some hanky panky going on, then I might. But is that on me or is that on them? How does that work? If you think that they're. This is the thing with people that are unfaithful to you, romantically or otherwise. If you got a suspicion, that's probably grounded and rooted in something, right? Unless you're just a whack job that can't trust anybody. But if somebody is actually, stepping out on you, you kind of know about it beforehand, don't you? It's very rare that it's completely out of the blue.
didn't see it coming.
Right?
You didn't see it coming?
I guess everybody's had that friend where it's like, I had no idea that this was going on. And you're like, really? You had no idea? Because
whole town knew.
Yeah. She kept grabbing my leg. What are you doing, buddy? How did you not see this coming? You're much more likely to do it if you're a woman than if you're a man. 42% of women say they've gone through the phone of a partner, and only 25% of men say that they've checked out what their partners are doing.
Aren't most people's phones locked? Don't you need a password to kind of move on?
Yeah, but I know what my wife's is, and she knows what mine is.
Oh, that's unsafe.
It's not unsafe. I got nothing to hide. Go crazy on my phone. Other than that, because there's situations where if you only have the one phone, I mean, I'm trying to think why do we know each other's passwords? It's not a trust thing. It's just a matter of convenience.
Password that's used for everything?
No, I know what my wife's passcode is on her phone, and I'll tell you why. Because I lose my phone a lot, and I need to use her phone to call my phone to find it.
Okay.
Well, I don't have my wife's passcode because of any trust issues. I'm an idiot that misplaces things a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
So, but I've never once thought, I wonder who she's talking to. Well, take a look at the emails here.
A lot of times when I misplace my phone now,
mm-hmm.
I know I don't have the volume turned up.
If you're right, it's just on.
Because a lot of times, I mean, like now.
Well, here in the studio, your ringer should be off because we can't have you getting phone calls during the show.
I just turned it off now.
Okay.
So I was kind of playing with fire, wasn't I?
Well, you were, but that's okay. That's all right. If you think that there's something going on, I also think, just in past experiences of dealing with people that were less than faithful, they tend to do a pretty good job of covering up their tracks, don't they?
I know Rhonda's pin.
For her ATM?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just because sometimes she'll want me to use it.
Well, or you're driving and you go to the window.
Yes.
And she hands you it.
I want cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, so I know that number.
Right. You ever go digging around to see if maybe she's got secret money you don't know about?
No.
Are you saving up for an escape? More than half of Americans surveyed say their partner is sometimes distracted by their phone when they're trying to talk to them. Now, I'm certainly guilty of that.
What's that?
Your partner is distracted. Imagine you're trying to have a conversation with Rhonda, mm-hmm. and she just gets distracted and is looking at her phone and isn't really paying attention to you.
Okay.
More than half of us say that that happens. I am certainly guilty of that, and I've got to do a better job of putting the phone down. It's just so hard to do.
So you're not... You're
There's
not,
so much nonsense on this damn it's thing, I can't stop staring
so
at
you,
it.
So you're, it's not a phone call that you're in the middle of?
No.
It's just you're looking something up.
I'll do this, and this makes me a bad spouse, but I'll say, okay, tell me about your day. And you'll start telling me about your day. And if I'm not riveted by your day, wonder what's on Twitter right now. I'm being completely honest.
That sounds interesting.
Oh, so tell me more. I wonder what's going on here.
I wonder if baseball is back.
Yeah, see if the Sox have made any trades. Yeah. 4 in 10 Americans claim that we are sometimes bothered by the amount of time that our loved one spends on the phone. We resent the fact that they're looking at the phone that much. Something else to consider. I think it's just a good idea to put it down a lot.
I'm listening to you now.
I appreciate that, see?
But I wouldn't say I have my phone. I didn't put my phone down. I have it propped up.
Right. But I appreciate that you're giving me your full attention as we're having this conversation.
Well,
if I were to just start to kind of look around, then that's...
Hi, everyone.
Right. You're not fooling anyone. You're in a room and they're talking to you, and they can see that you're not looking at them. You're looking at the phone. That drives people crazy. Mm. And that might be why some people get suspicious and start looking at your phone to see who you've been talking to.
I wonder in this day and age because in the past they would always talk about what broke up a relationship.
Right.
And of course you talk about money.
Yeah.
I wonder what percentage of relationships break up because of a smartphone. because of the phone.
You know, I think the number would be much higher than you think, because I imagine that's how most infidelity gets exposed, right? Is a text message.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I'm not talking about...
just somebody looking at their phone too much.
I'm just talking about just smartphones in general.
Yeah.
Just that device. I'm not talking about having an affair or anything.
Right.
I'm just talking about the device itself.
Right.
Being
ever since you got the phone,
being the device that exposes the problem with the relationship.
Right. I absolutely think you're onto something there. The term for blowing off your spouse for your cell phone, it's called fubbing. Fubbing. Spelled with a PH. It's a combination of phone and snubbing. Mm. You're fubbing your partner. That's according to a article in the journal Computers and Human Behavior. And yes, we do subscribe. Researchers came up with a way of measuring the scale of fubbing that's going on out there and how it can have a negative impact on what they call your relationship satisfaction.
We got a relationship.
They examined the behavior of American couples and found that spouses are checking their smartphones once every 6.5 minutes. 150 times a day you're looking at your phone. Does that number shock you?
No.
That's time you could spend paying attention to your partner, I guess. 70%
Well, and the thing is, if it's every 6.5 minutes, if the other person's doing it as well, it's every 3.25 minutes.
Listen, I'm an attention whore. I don't want anyone paying attention to me every 6.5 minutes. That would be too much attention. Like, go look at your phone for a little bit. I don't need that much attention.
Or go look something up about me.
See, is there anything on there about me? Are you on your phone looking into...
Why don't you go ahead and Google me?
Is there anything about me on there that I should know about? That's not bad.
What's the latest about me?
I can't tell you how disappointed I am that you're looking at your phone and it's not looking up stuff about me.
No, that's a good thing, though. That's not a bad excuse. If, like, you're always on your phone. Yeah, but I'm looking.
I'm Googling you.
I'm Googling you,
though. Trying to find out more about you, baby.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure you out. I'm trying to...
How do I crack this code?
Yeah.
You wonderful enigma lady.
I mean, Christmas is not that far away. What would you want?
You're in the middle of a conversation only to realize your partner's attention is elsewhere, and it's the phone. They call that fubbing.
Number four.
Big skateboarding first, and it's an 11-year-old kid that did this down in Brazil. Gui Curi is the kid's name. They've had the school shut down there in Brazil as a result of the pandemic.
So he's getting really good.
This 11-year-old is saying, all right, I'm going to use this time to shred. I'm going to work on my technique. 11-year-old kid, the first ever to throw down the first 1080 on a vert ramp. Which means this kid launched himself into the air off a vertical ramp and did three full rotations, 1,080 degrees.
I'm surprised he didn't take off.
He then landed cleanly. You think all those rotations would create some sort of lift?
Yes.
It's not bad. Well, we lost Gui. He's at Mars right now. He just kept spinning and rotating.
Looney Tunes has taught us anything.
The landing is pretty sweet to watch. This has been one of the holy grails in skateboarding. They've been trying it forever.
Boy.
No one ever did it until this 11-year-old in Brazil just did it the other day.
11 years old, though. That's pretty nimble. You're pretty nimble at 11.
The first 900 was something Tony Hawk did back in 1999.
Not 11.
And he was 31 when he did that.
Not 11.
Right. He says to the reporters down there in Brazil, quote, I was like, oh my God, what did I just do? I was just like, okay, I landed it. Now I'm going to celebrate. Dad says again that the lockdown in place has played a big role because this kid has had a lot more time to practice on his skateboard.
Was he dizzy when he landed?
Yeah, I imagine you would be, right? The isolation, his dad says, has helped this kid focus. A 1080 was completed previously, although that one came off a mega ramp, which is a lot bigger than a vertical ramp, and that allows you to get a lot more speed before you launch into the rotation.
See, now that's what I mean.
So the fact that this kid did it off a vert is huge.
I'm not even going to try any of this stuff unless I have a mega ramp.
Well, no, you would definitely need a mega ramp.
You saw me try to roller skate.
Yeah,
I crawled on my hands and knees.
Well, this 11-year-old kid is now a superstar,
sure,
in the skateboarding world, but for pulling off again something that they have been trying to do forever.
He should wear like the little beanie with the propeller on top.
Because
well, just to see if it helps.
Why not? Well, this has completely turned the skating world upside down. Tony Hawk is 52 years old.
Sure he is.
And he's still on the skateboard. I never should have given that up.
Yeah, you should have.
I don't know, man.
No, you should have.
I
haven't. When did you give it up?
I stopped skateboarding after high school.
Okay, well then that was a good idea.
Like, I should have brought the board with me when I moved away.
No.
I bet I did.
You would have killed yourself on Harrison Street.
Right. It was a couple of years ago.
We'd still be looking for you in the river.
My son has had this Razor scooter forever.
Went missing in 95.
Handful of years ago, I was trying to get my boy to get on the Razor scooter, and he said, "I don't know, Pop, that thing looks unsafe."
And he was right.
And I said, "Nonsense, watch."
Yes.
And I got on the scooter because I thought, well, this is just like a thinner board. Mm-hmm. I should be able to go down the driveway.
Then what happened?
Well, it has brakes.
Yeah.
I was not prepared.
Handbrake?
Yeah, it has handbrakes.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
I was not prepared for the scooter to stop as quickly as it did.
So that means the brakes work properly.
Oh, a little too properly.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was trying to show my son how safe the scooter was.
Then what happened?
I went over the handlebars and landed teeth first in my driveway.
Knocked your front teeth out.
Sure did, Darren. Sure did. And scraped my face up pretty good, too.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah,
which episode is that of the podcast? Do you know? Anybody? Mm. Any wizards out there of the podcast? Yeah. Wizard is someone who's listened to every podcast. And if you'd like to have access to our podcast that we did over the last 5.5 years, you can become a patron. You'll have access to everything we've ever done, including patron-only podcasts that we're continuing to do to this very day.
And I just started my job.
Which one?
Selling beer for Kelowna Brewing Company. So I had this face that was all scabbed up. And I was missing teeth. I looked like I was, like a meth addict or something. So it took a while to, a couple days.
Without the energy.
Yeah, right. Right. So I'm going, I'm going into.
Man, I thought this guy would be a bigger go-getter with all that.
And then I'm going into clients and I have to explain to them that I had an accident on my son's scooter. Like,
Were you trying to save your son? No.
No, I was trying to show him how safe the scooter was.
Oh, well, I think we'll buy from somebody else.
I bet I could get on a.
No, you couldn't. Stay off the ladders.
Well, the board's a much bigger. You get the deck's much bigger on a board than it would be on a skateboard than it would be on a.
Did you hear me when I said we'd still be looking for you in the river?
Yeah. Maybe that could be a goal for me. Get to a place where
I had no idea I was going to pick. I had no idea I was going to pick up that much speed.
Yeah, that's true. Because I'm easily 100 pounds heavier than I was when I was skateboarding in high school.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least 80 pounds heavier than I was in high school. And when you get that much mass moving, it is harder to stop.
Would you get into a tuck, do you think? Would you move into a tuck maneuver?
I didn't do that back then.
No.
No. That whole getting down low? No. Yeah. That wasn't a good idea even then. So probably not. But yeah, I don't know what ever happened to my skateboard.
I got to the band shell, mm-hmm. and it just launched me right into the river.
The next thing I knew, I woke up and...
Next thing I knew, people over at Modern Woodman in Rock Island were cheering me as I began to descend.
Number five.
If you're excited for the release of Avatar 2, James Cameron has some good news for you.
Now, what shade of blue are they this time? Or are they a different color completely? That would be something.
That would be revolutionary.
We're lime green.
What happened? Why are you a different color?
What are you even talking about? Why would you mention that?
This is a guy who takes his time making movies. When you consider that, you know, Terminator 2 came out a couple of years after that. He's only, since 1990, right? He's only in the last 30 years done 4 movies that weren't documentaries. Right? Terminator 2, True Lies, Titanic, and Avatar. And those are all, I would argue, movies that have done pretty well at the box office. Second highest grossing movie ever.
Which one's your favorite of those 4? Because I haven't seen any of them.
If I had to pick between Terminator 2, Titanic, Avatar, and True Lies, I'd say T2 Judgment Day. That would be my favorite of them all. I've never really seen True Lies, though. I think I understand what it's about.
Well, I think I understand what Titanic's about.
Yeah, right.
I think I get the gist of that one.
Have you seen Avatar?
No.
I watched it recently for the first time because it's on...
Is it long?
It's too long.
Well...
In fact, when it was done, my 11-year-old son said, as soon as the credits rolled, his review was...
I'm 12 now.
No, he said, that was much longer than it needed to be.
Well,
which I thought
son,
was a...
Son, I think you're going to find that that's the case with a lot of movies.
Jenny bailed, like... Two-thirds into the movie, Jenny bailed and went upstairs and went to sleep. But she had already seen the movie. Neither of us had seen it. And we powered through it. And I'll say this for Avatar. It was fine. I don't know. People have been telling me, oh, you like science fiction. You would love that movie.
Is there a twist? Is there a surprise ending?
No.
No?
It's complete, like, of course, it's, everything that happens is, of course, that's what happened. Everything. There's no twists. Absolutely not. It's fine.
Now, is the gist of the movie that a human turns into an avatar?
So there's a planet far away. This takes place in the future. And the planet has a resource, an ore, that they want to mine. And they have to deal with these giant blue creatures that live there. And so they put themselves in... They splice their DNA into these creatures that look like the creatures, so you can walk around and pass for one of them.
Okay.
No, but they know the whole time that you're not really one of them. So I don't quite get it. I don't get what the point of it is. I don't get what the point of it is. Because there's a Sigourney Weaver character, and she interacts with them as a human, and she also interacts with them as an avatar. I don't understand the point of any of it. Because if they're not fooled into thinking that you're one of them.
Why go to the trouble?
Exactly. It seems there's a lot of it where I think I don't know what the point of that was. And Cameron is making a host of sequels to this, which makes sense from a financial standpoint because Avatar made so much money at the box office. Why wouldn't you? The Avatar sequel was supposed to be in theaters in 2014. And now we're being told it'll be in theaters December 17th, 2021.
Do the avatars know that you're not really an avatar because you're like from the waist down you're wearing normal clothes?
No, your body is one of, it's like they splice together the DNA of the
creatures.
So it's not
like, the giveaway isn't that you're wearing pants or slacks.
Well, if I remember correctly, I don't think the reason that the star of the movie is he's the identical twin of someone who dies. So they need him because his DNA is the same as his brother, so he can walk around in this body and trick the Martians.
Naked.
Or the whatever they're called. I don't know.
Blue meanies.
They might as well be. Avatar was in theaters in 2009. The sequel will be out in 2021. But will it? Because they're making it now, and now's not exactly the best time to be making movies. I mean, the entire entertainment industry is shut down because of the pandemic. Cameron says he and all of his little blue creatures will be in movie theaters next year. He tells Empire Magazine, quote, "I want to get back to work on Avatar, which right now we're not allowed to do under state emergency laws or rules. So it's all on hold right now. We were about to shoot down in New Zealand, so that got pushed. We're trying to get back to it as quick as we can." On the bright side, he says, New Zealand seems to have been very effective in controlling the virus, and their goal is not mitigation, but eradication, which they believe they can do with aggressive contact tracing and testing. He thinks there's still a very good chance that shooting will be delayed a couple months, but he thinks we could still do it, quote, "So that's the good news. We've got everybody working from home to the extent that it's possible." They're going to end up delaying this movie. This thing's not coming out next year.
This time, they're Dreamsicle Orange, though.
I'm certain I read that they're doing a couple of them at the same time. Like 2, 3, and 4, I think, is what they're doing, right? Because Avatar 3 is supposed to be in theaters December 22nd, 2023. And then Avatar 4 is December 2025. And Avatar 5 is 2027. They've got dates out for all of these movies. I don't know. I will say, like, having seen Avatar, I don't know that there's a need for a sequel. I don't understand what the point of that would be. It's kind of like The Matrix. You got 2 sequels for that. Those didn't make any sense. And there was no reason for those movies. You could have just left well enough alone. But you got to make sequels because that's how you make your money these days, right?
Well, we'll go see the last one. We'll celebrate my retirement.
Right? 2027? Is that what you want? December 17th, 2027. We'll celebrate your retirement by going to see Avatar 5? You won't have seen any of the movies by then.
Well, I don't want to spoil it.
Well, you're going to see the 5th movie in a series and you're not going to know what's going on.
I won't know what's going on anyway.
Now, I believe is that the last Avengers movie is the biggest box office movie of all time. But the first Avatar, they spent $237 million making it.
Ooh.
But it made $2.79 billion.
Bamillion.
A bamillion dollars. So, of course, you're going to do a sequel. It was the highest grossing movie in the world for almost a decade until Endgame came out last year. And it's number 2 on the list when you adjust for inflation after Gone with the Wind. When you adjust for inflation, again, it's
Gone with the Wind cost you 5 cents to go see.
Yeah, right. When you adjust for inflation, Gone with the Wind is a $3 billion movie. Up $1 million. Well, anyway, James Cameron says, good news, don't freak out. He thinks it can still be in theaters for Christmas 2021, if that's something that you're... I mean, it just doesn't seem like for a movie that made that much money, for a movie that was the number one movie of all time for a decade, I don't know anyone that talks about it. I don't know anyone that is excited about it. You know, like, with the Star Wars... We Star Wars nerds, we talk about Star Wars all the darn time.
Nonstop.
During
every song.
Like, there's your Star Trek fans and your Star Wars fans, and we tend to be obsessive about it. I don't know anyone that says, I'm a real fan of the Avatar movie. Do you?
No.
Have you ever met anyone that was passionate about Avatar?
I would just keep walking.
They stopped you on the street? Excuse me, sir, do you have a moment to hear about how much I enjoyed the movie Avatar?
What's that over there? And then they start going the other way.
Do you remember when Bird, our old intern, brought a foldable table to the lobby of the Rave Cinemas so he and his friends could...
They were going to have a round table
they could have
discuss.
Do you remember what movie it was they were going to discuss? So he brings a card table to the cinemas and he goes to the movie with his friends. And then the plan was they were going to have a roundtable discussion. This was not for a podcast or anything. No. They were just going to have a roundtable discussion to discuss.
They should have called the cops.
It was to discuss Transformers the last night.
There you go.
Just a roundtable discussion.
Well, there are book clubs.
Why don't you go do that at a restaurant? Well, no, we want to do it there in the theater.
Get a fresh take.
Yeah. They've made a bunch of Transformer movies. I don't know anyone that's really passionate about those either. The Marvel movies people are passionate about, and that fandom is certainly very vocal, but I don't know. Am I way off? The text line is 47023-NACHO. Are you crazy about Avatar? Like, does that movie really speak to you in a way that... I don't know what I'm missing, and I don't know why anyone's excited about the sequel other than the fact that it's taken him... Well, by the time it comes out, it'll be
and then James
13 years.
James Cameron's ex-wife is a big movie maker, right?
Well, he's got a bunch of ex-wives.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they all movie makers?
Catherine Bigelow certainly is.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was married to... Is it Linda Thompson?
Okay.
Well, the star of Terminator 2. He was married to her for a while. And then, James Cameron's been married a couple times. 7:18, and it's 39
Linda
degrees.
Hamilton.
What did I say, Thompson?
Yes.
Yeah, Linda Hamilton, thank you.
You're thinking of Richard and Linda Thompson, who are no longer together either.
Boy, does nothing last? And just like that, friends, we bring this episode of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things to its thrilling and natural conclusion.
And I think for the right reasons.
It was brought to you by Capriotti Sandwich Shop on East 53rd Street in Davenport.
They are open each and every day from 11 till 7 for curbside takeout and delivery, including My Town to Go, DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. Again, open every day from 11 till 7 on 53rd Street in Davenport. Capriotti Sandwich Shop, extraordinary food for those unwilling to settle.
Thanks for downloading and subscribing and leaving a review for us on the iTunes doohickey. We really should know the nomenclature if we're going to do podcasts.
Every time we get a review?
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Angel gets its wings.
We could bring back the timpani, but that could get exhausting. Remember the timpani bit?
No, we absolutely need to bring that back.
Yeah, we do. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening to the Top 5 Things. Until we get a chance to do it again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island. Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hey, stick a fork in me. I am done.